Welcome to Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here's your host, Nick Camino.
Welcome in. The countdown to spring training continues, and we've reached the number two. Yes, two. Only 2 days until pitchers and catchers report to spring training for your Cleveland Indians. I'll be down there this upcoming Thursday, and by next week, we'll be hosting this show, Indians Spring Training Weekly, from sunny Goodyear, Arizona. We can't wait. We love doing it, getting you up to date on the latest from camp. It's always so much fun. And tonight, another action-packed, full-blown edition of Indians Hot Stove Weekly. But this is the off-season sort of winding down here now. This is when people are starting to get ramped up. Players are starting to get to spring training. You're not going to see as much movement. I was listening to some national guys talking the other day. You just don't see as much movement. You don't see as many moves. We've seen trades in spring training before, but they're not all that much popular because right now a lot of teams feel they've got good, solid teams, good to go, and they're going to give it a whirl here for the season. Everybody's in first place. High expectations for the Indians. We've seen national baseball writers, one of which will join us tonight with some high expectations, feeling like the Indians are going to be in a good spot when it comes to this season. They like their chances to not only win the AL Central, but even come out of the American League. Yeah, win the ALCS to go to the World Series. Those are the expectations that are being talked about right now when it comes to the Tribe, and that gets all of us very excited. When we come back here in a little bit, we are going to be joined by Bob Nightingale of the USA Today. He's one of those guys. He's talked to a lot of front office executives. He's talked to a lot of scouts that feel like the Indians are the surprise team. They're the kind of the trendy pick this year when it comes to the AL Central and the American League. I don't know if I want to say I'm not as confident. I just think there's a lot of question marks when it comes to the Indians. And not only the Tribe, I think throughout the whole American League Central, where it's been very busy. Not only the Tigers, but you've got the White Sox have spent a lot of money. They've been busy. The Kansas City Royals, they're the team that went to Game 7 of the World Series. You've got the Minnesota Twins with a new manager, and they were pretty busy. The Indians themselves were busy. So there's just so much to this. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. This is my sixth season covering the Indians, and I've never been so uncertain as to what type of year it's going to be. That could be a good thing. Could be a bad thing. We're going to see. So Bob Nightingale, the USA Today, he will join us when we come back. A little bit later in the show, we're going to run you down some news and notes from around Major League Baseball. The New York Yankees are retiring some new numbers. Pretty soon the Yankees aren't going to have any numbers to give away to their regular players that are on the current roster. They're running out. I think once Derek Jeter's retired now after the news today, and we'll save some of this for later, once Derek Jeter's number gets retired, as it will be soon enough, the numbers 1 through 11 will not be able to be picked by current Yankee players going forward. That's how many numbers have been retired by the Yankees. It's crazy. And there's a name in there that I think you'll want to hear that I'm not so sure really should be in that category. Speaking of names that are being retired, you can add Jason Giambi to that list. He said today officially that he is going to retire from Major League Baseball. That puts him at 20 baseball seasons, spent time with the Athletics, with the Yankees, with the Rockies, and the last 2 years here in Cleveland with the Indians, where he quickly became a fan favorite and a clubhouse favorite. That'll be part of our news and notes, but I wanted to get that to you as well. As we mentioned, Cleveland Indians spring training right around the corner. Pitchers and catchers reporting on Wednesday. Position players will be reporting by the weekend. And we'll see some workouts, not only by the weekend, but just after the weekend, as they're getting geared up down in Goodyear, Arizona, in preparations for the 2015 season. It's a lot of fun. And next week at this time, when we're hosting this show, it will no longer be the Hot Stove Show. It'll be Indian Spring Training Weekly. Can't wait to bring you the latest sights and sounds and news from Goodyear, Arizona, at spring training. All right, you're listening to Indians Hot Stove Weekly. We are all along the Cleveland Indians radio network. Nick Camino here with you. We've got an action-packed show coming up. You'll want to stay tuned, and you want to hear this coming up. Bob Nightingale of the USA Today, one of the best in the biz, national baseball writer. He joins me next. Keep things locked right here. It is the Cleveland Indians radio network.
The 1-1 pitch. A swing and a drive to deep right. Away back. Gone! Jason Giambi has done it for the second time off the White Sox. A walk-off game winner.
He's so tough. He's got great stuff. He really throws across his body. And after my first slider, he threw me a hitter. And they were playing the shift. Brantley steals. I was honestly trying to hit a grounder to short. And I just ended up catching a slider out in front. Wow, unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. Wow, this is what dreams are made of, no doubt about it.
You can either kind of stand pat and use your comfort level to kind of just, you know, go through camp, or you can push yourself to try to be better. And I think that's how we all feel, staff included, that we're going to try to get better at what we do. I've been more excited than usual, which is saying a lot. To get started, everybody seems to be kind of chomping at the bit to get going.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
All right, as promised, now joining us via our hotline, it's Bob Nightingale of the USA Today national baseball writer, one of the best in the biz. I love any time we have a chance to catch up with him. Hey, Bob, listen, we really appreciate the time tonight.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, let's start with the tweet that you sent out a few days ago. I'll have to read this for Tribe fans that may have missed this. You tweeted, "The biggest sleeper in baseball, scouts and execs are saying these days, the Cleveland Indians and that young, talented pitching staff." Bob, were you as surprised when you heard from those people as I was when I read your tweet with the high praise for the Indians?
Yeah, I was. And just I said, really? And everybody said, yeah, everybody's talking about the White Sox and the Tigers and the Royals. And people say, you know what? People are asleep on the Indians. The Indians are very good. And people overlooking them because they didn't have a big winner.
We're not going to ask you who you talked to, but there's been a few different national writers also that have already picked the Indians to not only win the AL Central, but even make the World Series. And you're talking with execs and scouts. When that happens and those and we begin to see those types of expectations and the fan base gets excited, does that bring some pressure to a club, you think?
I think not real pressure. But I think more of expectations, which is good. I mean, nobody wants to go into the season thinking, you know what, we don't have a prayer. We can say this or do that. And, let's be honest, we have no chance of winning. But I think when other GMs, executives are looking at it, they're saying, you know what, this is a very good club. And we think the Indians are kind of playing possum here, that they don't want those expectations. But, they have a good chance to win that division as anybody else.
I guess the thing that surprises me about it all is how fast it happened. And we know Terry Francona has been the guiding force, and he's gotten a ton out of this team. And even last year when they had disappointing seasons from guys like Bourne and Swisher and Kipnis and the worst defensive team in baseball, they still only finished with four less wins than the Royals, who went to Game 7 of the World Series. So we always thought that was possible. I guess the part that is shocking a little bit is how much money we saw the White Sox spend and how many pieces we see Detroit has coming back. It just seems like a lot hasn't changed, but the expectations now for the Indians have in just 1 year.
Well, I think you said it right, Nick, is that everything went wrong for the Indians last year. I mean, just, Masterson was supposed to be a big stud, and you saw what happened with the outfield, particularly Bourne and Swisher, and Kipnis. Just everything went wrong, it seemed like, and you still finished winning striking distance of the Royals and the Tigers. So that means things are bound to get better, and with that young pitching staff, why not? And I think you. Talking to people, and I believe this, is that you can make a case for everybody but Minnesota to win the division, and that really, from the first place team to the fourth place team, maybe end up winning 5-4 games to one another.
You know, it's a great point, Bob, and we're talking about Bob Nightingale, the USA Today national baseball writer. He joins us here on the show. You look at what the AL Central did this year, and even the Twins to some extent, everybody seem to get better. Is this one of the best divisions in all of baseball now?
Nick, I think it's the most competitive division for sure in baseball, just from the fact that everybody's going to be close. Even the Twins, they're going to be improved. You know, there's no reason why they can't win, 75 games at least.
Mm-hmm.
And so no, I think it is from top to bottom, because every other division, you know, you got some bad teams in there. You know, like the NL Central, everybody talks about, you know, the Cardinals and Pirates and Cubs coming up. But, you know, realistically, you know, the Brewers and Reds don't have a chance. But, you know, the AL Central, just everybody's going to be knocking heads with one another, which also means, unfortunately, you know, you may not have a luxury of that wild card, because to win that division, you only take 87 or 88 wins.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You know, we've talked about a lot of the question marks, guys like Swisher, Kipnis, Bourne, and even Brandon Moss, who's a new bat that's acquired. There's a lot of question marks, but I guess if you look at other places, even within the division and in the American League, I guess every club has a considerable amount of question marks, right, Bob? I mean, everyone's, you know, you think about the injuries Detroit has dealt with. I mean, everybody's kind of got something that has a question mark over it.
Oh, exactly. I mean, look at the Tigers. I mean, you just lost two of their studs, and Scherzer and Porcello. They're bound to dropping off. You know, particularly with the injuries that Cabrera and Victor Martinez have got to overcome. You know, the White Sox had to make a lot of improvements, but we all see what happens to teams that make drastic transformations. They usually fall flat in their face that first year with guys getting adjusted and things like that. I mean, you know, certainly Chris Hill isn't going to have a better year than he had last year. And on, you know, Kansas City, hey, everybody likes that team. They made a couple nice moves, but they still, you know, lost Billy Butler, along with Shields, who was not only their best pitcher, but that leader of that clubhouse.
How good do you think the White Sox can be? I mean, you talked about Sale, and they've added Samardzija, and they've spent a lot of money, Bob, but sometimes you see these clubs, they spend a lot, and then sometimes it takes time for guys to get acclimated and a team to kind of maybe gel together a little bit. I mean, how good do you think they can be?
So I think they can be, you know, certainly contend for the division title now. Where before, you know, it was a bad team, not just a bad team, but a boring and a dull team. and it's a kind of exciting team now. Especially the moves they made, you know, getting a Melky Cabrera, getting Adam LaRoche to help out Abreu there at first base. It just seems like all around, you know, they didn't spend a ton of money, but, you know, when you all add it all up, it did, but not just on one guy. So I think overall, they did a real nice job just because you got so many pieces in there.
I got to ask you about some of the news of the day. I saw you tweet about it. Jason Giambi is officially going to hang it up. He's going to retire. 20 years in baseball. I've had an opportunity to really get to know him over the last two, being here in Cleveland, and just a tremendous guy. Bob, I can't remember one player that was kind of linked to steroids like he was that really seemed to have such a positive effect on the game and a lot of the people that were around him. You know, it seems like, you know, you hear all those names that have been affiliated with it, and some of it you don't hear from anymore, but Giambi kind of embraced it, said he was sorry, made a mistake, and boy, I know Terry Francona just completely raves about him.
Yeah, he never backed off from the, you know, after he testified, never blamed anybody else but himself, and really became a role model. I mean, you saw it more than anybody else, Nick, just how we interacted with young guys in that clubhouse, what he meant for leadership. Let's be honest, if Jeremy was a bad guy or not a good clubhouse influence, he would have been on the game 5 or 6 years ago. He stayed in the game for a long time just because of what type of guy he is. And I believe he'll be, you know, if he wants to, it could be the Indians front office as a special assistant, you know, roving around sometime this summer. And if he wants to take a full year off, I guarantee he'll be on a major league coaching staff or possibly even managing next year.
All right, Bob, before we let you go, what have been your early impressions of the new commissioner of Major League Baseball, Mr. Rob Manfred?
I've been impressed, a little surprised that he's been very outspoken on the issues. You know, usually you kind of take your time going in there, but he's full steam ahead, talking about, you know, the pace of the game and pitch clocks, you know, which isn't going to happen. But, you know, just as far as wanting to make drastic improvements, maybe you know, take away some of the lower strikes. You know, even gone to the Hall of Fame debate, saying, "Well, unless you tested positive or something, we shouldn't judge guys." And, you know, that say they're steroid guys to keep them on the Hall of Fame. So he's making his, you know, he's even talking, you know, going to tackle the Pete Rose issue.
Yeah.
So he's been not afraid to take on anything, and which is surprising. I hope he keeps his cannonness, throughout the 5 years.
I don't think I've ever asked you this, but you know, when we hear about all these things with pitch clocks and that the game needs to change and it needs to, you know, just get better and things like that, you know, I'm kind of old school, Bob. I like the game how it is, but if there was something about the game that you'd like to see change, if there is one, what would you say that area would be? Or maybe you're happy with it.
Well, I would like to see the pace picked up some. And I think it's just very simple. I mean, there's so many commercials now, but, you know, about 2 minutes, 5 seconds worth of commercials between every inning. When that inning is over, make sure the pitcher's on the mound or the batter's in the batter's box. If not, you know, call a strike or ball, what have you, mm-hmm. on the guy. But you got to get that part. I think that would shave, you know, about 30 seconds each inning right there. And then maybe make sure that batter stays in the batter's box. I'm not saying you can't call a timeout at one point. But, you know, when the ball is 2 feet outside and you're stepping out to adjust your batter's glove without swinging your bat, it makes no sense. It really doesn't. Yeah. And also think that at some point, limit the amount of times the infielders and catcher can go on the mound. I mean, as is now, you know, the shortstop or catcher could go off the mound every other pitch if you wanted to, make it a 5-6 hour game. So do some of that. You could, you know, do little things like that to make it more of a brisk 3 hour game or a brisk 2:45 game, something like that.
I like those ideas. We'll have to get Rob Manfred on the phone. I like those ideas. Hey Bob, listen, we really appreciate the time. I always enjoy catching up with you in Arizona and on the air. I know you're going to be heading to Florida first. You'll have the whole Alex Rodriguez situation with the Yankees. Boy, that'll be a lot of fun, and the Red Sox down there. And then I'll see you in the desert before you know it.
All right, look forward to it, Nick. Thank you.
All right, that's Bob Nightingale, USA Today, national baseball writer, one of the best in the biz, another national guy who was high on the Indians, and that raises some expectations. It gets people excited, and now the team will have to live up to those. But it was funny to hear Bob say he thinks the Indians are maybe playing a little bit of possum, you know, and the people he's talked to, the execs and the scouts and people saying, you know, the Indians don't want those high expectations going into the year, and they're going to try and surprise people. So we'll see. A lot of people seem to be jumping on the bandwagon. Early expectations for the Indians are high, and hey, it's better than what it could be, right? Let's get ready for an exciting season. We always want to do that. All right, keep things locked right here. It is Indians Hot Stove Weekly. We'll continue along here all along the Cleveland Indians radio network. Coming up, we'll hear from Cody Allen. We're going to check in with Joel Hammond of the Indians to see the great things they have going on about the online on sale, which I know will be going on March 3rd, and a lot of great things with the renovation projects and so much, much more. And don't forget news and notes from around Major League Baseball. That's still coming up as well. Nick Camino here with you. Keep things locked right here. It is the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
Just past the halfway point here on Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Once again, our show next week will be coming to you live from sunny Goodyear, Arizona, home of Indian spring training. Can't wait for that. That'll be so much fun. We'll bring you the sights and sounds, and it'll no longer be the Indians Hot Stove Show. It'll be the Indians Spring Training Show. Yeah, we'll be bringing you the latest from what's been going on in spring camp for the Tribe. We'll bring you the interviews and some of the sights and sounds from Goodyear, Arizona. That's always a lot of fun. Special thanks to Bob Nightingale of the USA Today for joining us, national baseball writer. He's one of the best in the biz. He's high on the Indians for the upcoming season. He likes the direction that they're headed, especially with the pitching staff. So it was a lot of fun to catch up with him. In a little bit here, we're going to hear from Indians closer Cody Allen. I'm not sure if he's ever been officially named the closer, but we'll go with that for now. Last year, he had 24 saves in 28 opportunities. He's one of the best arms in the back end of that Tribe bullpen, if not the best arm. And it sounds like a closer to me. But in all honesty, Terry Francona, he wants to keep his bullpen flexible. And that means if the game is on the line in the eighth inning, well, we may see him then. So it all depends. Recently on Tribe Talk, which you hear on Saturdays, Jim Rosenhaus caught up with Cody Allen, so we'll take a listen into their conversation in a second here. I did want to run down some headlines from around Major League Baseball today. This is our news and notes segment. We mentioned it in the open. Jason Giambi has officially retired from baseball. He spent the last two seasons with the Indians. We all remember that home run he hit late in September against the Chicago White Sox back in 2013. That helped lead the Indians to the playoffs that year. It's just so much fun. He spent time with the Indians, the Rockies, the Yankees, and the Athletics. Just a great guy. Got to know Giambi pretty well over the last 2 years, and he was a pleasure to cover. Really enjoyed chatting with him. A lot of baseball knowledge in there, and it sounds like he's probably going to take this year off, but who knows? Maybe we'll see him coaching or managing soon. Pretty quiet around the rest of Major League Baseball. The New York Yankees announcing today that they'll retire three more numbers, Bernie Williams, Andy Pettit, and Jorge Posada. So it's been pretty quiet around baseball news-wise lately, but as we know, spring training opening up this week for all the clubs around Major League Baseball, and we'll have a ton of news before you know it. All right, let's take a listen in. Jim Rosenhaus caught up with Cody Allen, the Tribe closer. Just don't call him that right now. that's never been made official. I guess you could see him in the eighth inning or the seventh inning when the game is on the line. Maybe you see Brian Shaw or Scott Atchison in the back end as well. But let's take a listen in. Jim Rosenhaus talking with the talented right-hander Cody Allen a couple days ago. Take a listen.
You know, I started training and everything like that, towards the end of October, and didn't really pick up a baseball until December. You know, I was going in October all the way till I leave for spring training, getting stuff done for my shoulder and just strengthening it back up and getting it stretched out and loosened up and everything like that. But to be honest, I feel great. You know, I felt great at the end of the year. I felt great at the end of the year in 2013. So, you know, I feel like we got a pretty good system in place here where, you know, granted, you know, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of appearances and stuff like that, but we're not adding extra stuff on the side. You know, I'm not warming up a couple times a game. I'm not pitching 4 days in a row. He doesn't have us out there doing PFPs, you know, once a week where we're making extra throws, you know. And, you know, me and Carlos Carrasco were throwing partners for the most part last year. We had a good throwing program. We got exactly what we needed out of it, not too much, not too little. So it was good, you know, and he gave me days when I needed them.
It seems like there's a fine line between a lot of work where you were close to that, but also I know talking to you a couple of times during the season, if you don't get enough, you lose your sharpness.
Yeah,
so how do you walk that line?
It's tough, man. He's done an awesome job with it where, you know, say we win five games in a row by 10 runs or, you know, we have five or six games in a row where they're not close and you don't need to use guys like Brian Shaw or myself. And, you know, but you want to get in there and get work, but also those extra innings you throw, you know, they add up and stuff like that. So, but I'm more okay with having a little heavier workload and staying fresh than not throwing enough and being probably a little bit easier on my arm, but not being fresh, not being crisp, not knowing, like, what's going on when I'm out there. Because a lot of times if I go 3-4 days without getting off a mound or pitching in the game, you know, I get out there and I don't feel 100% comfortable. And I don't want every single time I get out there to be that 2-0, 2-1 game where I'm just trying to find it, you know. So, you know, I enjoy, you know, and need the games that, you know, or 8-0 or 10-2 where I can get out there and get some work, you know, if I haven't pitched in a few days and, you know, so I know I'm fresh, you know, the next time I go out in a tight one.
All right, that's Cody Allen. Jim Rosenhaus had a chance to catch up with him recently, and it's good to hear from the right-hander who's going to be in the back end of that bullpen, pitching in a lot of high-leverage situations and innings. Should be fun to see that during spring training and into the 2015 season. All right, let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll hear from Joel Hammond. He's with the Cleveland Indians in their communications department with PR. He's going to tell us about a lot of the great things that they have going on, a great opportunity to get your single-game tickets as well, and some updates on the renovation. Keep things locked right here. It's Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Nick Camino here with you all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
All right, before we wrap things up for the night, we want to welcome in Joel Hammond of the Cleveland Indians. He's in their communications department with PR does a great job with Curtis Danberg and all of them. We love catching up with these guys to kind of give us the lowdown of what's been going on. And Joel, listen, we really appreciate the time tonight.
Nick, thanks as always. I appreciate it.
All right, the countdown is on, and I know that you are heavily involved with the Indians' Twitter account on social media, and I got to imagine that the avatar picture that has said 2-18-14 for when pitchers and catchers report to spring training, I got to imagine that's going to be changing soon, right?
It will change on Wednesday. Yeah, we're excited about it. We've had that avatar there for, gosh, about 3-4 weeks now, so we're excited to have that change for sure. This this weather has us beaten down, so we're going to change that, I think, probably to 4-10-15 on Wednesday, just to mark down our home opener date. So we're excited about it, and I think our fans are as well, as you might expect.
Yeah, absolutely. Pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training on Wednesday. I'll get down there on Thursday, and we'll be providing a Total Tribe coverage all throughout spring training. But just amazing how fast the offseason has gone, and it kind of goes in stages, Joel. You guys had Tribe Fest that everybody was kind of putting their energy toward, and now it's getting ready for spring training. I got to believe the next step will be getting ready for the regular season.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, people say when they know you work for the Indians, oh, you know, you guys don't do anything in the offseason, right? Well, I mean, no, not anything except for a gigantic renovation project, except for Tribe Fest and spring training, and then opening day. So yeah, I mean, after pitchers and catchers report, you really start to transition to that opening day sort of benchmark, which again is, what is it, about 50 some days away today. So
yeah, one could argue people like you that work with the Indians might be busier in the off season than during the regular year.
Yeah, absolutely. There is no break, and sometimes you need one, sometimes you don't, but there certainly is not a huge break for us, as we're always at it, which makes it fun for sure.
All right, we're talking with Joel Hammond of the Cleveland Indians. He joins us here on Indians Hot Stove Weekly, works with the communications department in PR, and we love catching up with them all the time on these shows, whether it's Curtis Danberg, and we've had Joel on a lot. And Joel, I know coming up on Tuesday, March 3rd, right at 10 o'clock in the morning, you guys have a big thing going on, the 2015 online on sale. Maybe people are just hearing this for the first time. Can you kind of explain what this is?
Yeah, so people ask us all the time, when do your opening day tickets, when do your single game tickets go on sale? Your first chance, unless you're a season ticket holder, is on March 3rd at 10 a.m. So what you need to do is go to Indians.com/online-on-sale, register, and on the morning of March 3rd, you'll get an email with a password that will get you access to that online on sale on March 3rd. Now, I'll warn you, if you're not on at 10 a.m. exactly on March 3rd, you are going to be shut out of opening day. We are anticipating a very quick sellout this year.
Wow.
As always, really. We've announced 6 minutes. We've announced 15 minutes. We're anticipating a very fast sellout. So first things first, go to Indians.com/online-on-sale. Register there on March 3rd in the morning then. You'll get an email with a password and be at your computer at 10 a.m. on March 3rd. Otherwise, you're going to be out of luck for those opening day tickets.
Yeah, I was on Indians.com earlier. You can see some of the banners on the website, the 2015 online on sale. It's Tuesday, March 3rd, again at 10 o'clock in the morning. You got to register, though, to have an opportunity to do that, unless you're already a season ticket holder. But, yeah, you got to check that out. That's a great time for people to go on. And, again, like you said, once you sign up, you guys will then email the password, right?
Correct, yeah. You'll get an email on March 3rd, the morning of, with a password. And like you said, Nick, like I said, your best chance, if you don't want to get shut out of opening day tickets, your best chance to guarantee yourself opening day tickets is becoming a season ticket holder. Even if you buy a 20-game package for 2015, you'll get access to a special season ticket holder single-game presale where you can have first crack at opening day tickets. So really, in addition to all the other perks of our season ticket holders, they also get postseason priority. They get opening day priority. So if you're thinking about it, you're on the fence, make sure you call us at 420-HITS. And join our team as a season ticket holder. That gets you priority access to opening day tickets, and you'll be able to guarantee yourself opening day tickets.
Yeah, there's been a lot of national things written about the Indians. A lot of people seem to be maybe picking the Tribe as a trendy pick to be one of the better teams in the American League, if not the Central Division. Have you guys seen an impact on that? Maybe it might be hard, it might be difficult to be able to tell until maybe March 3rd, but have you guys been able to see an uptick in maybe some of the season ticket sales or some of the And I know you haven't had the single game ticket sales yet, but people may be interested in doing those types of things?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Our renewals were above 95% from last year, so obviously that's a good indicator. We did some targeted offers to certain companies, and we saw a great deal of interest in those. And I think you're going to see on March 3rd that our single game tickets will sell quickly. Of course, early in the season, I think those weeknights are going to be, it's all, as you know, Nick, without a season ticket base of 25,000 fans, those early season weeknight games are, you're going to struggle a little bit on those ones. But I think you're going to see some good momentum this season and a lot of interest in those high demand summer weekends. And I think as, we get off to a good start, I think hopefully you're going to see some more momentum there. So we're excited, certainly.
And something else I had an idea you guys were going to be doing, and you guys announced it this week. You guys are going to be changing the game times just a little bit, and you're going to be instead of 05, you're going to be starting the games at either 7:10 or 1:10 or 12:10 or whatever it might be. That's not the biggest deal, but what I'm kind of referring to is the select dates that you guys are going to be doing some 6 o'clock first pitch times. Can you kind of explain what went into this?
Absolutely, yeah. So I mean, it's been well documented. Our early season attendance, due to the kids being in school still, due to weather concerns, has been a struggle in recent seasons. So we're trying something new with 5 games in April and May. We're going to start those weeknight games. I think it's April 27th through the 29th, and then a couple more in May. We're going to start them at 6:10 to see if we can get a larger chunk of that downtown employee base, try to get them to come to the ballpark before they go home. Some people might think that 2-hour gap between work and first pitch is too much, but yeah. We think that 6:10 time will appeal to more fans, and we've seen some good response to that, both nationally and locally. Folks wondering if it's going to catch on for other teams, and also among our fans saying, "Oh, this is a great idea. I'll definitely be there." So we're excited about it. Obviously, it's a test. We don't know exactly how it's going to go, but some of our research has indicated that fans wanted to see it, so we're going to try it out this year.
We're talking with Joel Hammond of the Cleveland Indians. He's in their communications department, does a great job with PR and telling us everything that's going on with the Indians. Exciting. Be sure to follow them on Twitter, at Indians, the Twitter handle, very popular among Tribe fans, and Joel is at the heart of a lot of that. How's the renovation project been going down there?
Yeah, so as you know, and all the listeners know, it is way, way too cold outside. But that our crews are working diligently at the project. I was just told a few hours ago today that we're on schedule. Nothing has changed as far as that goes. So no panic from us or for any of our fans as far as the construction goes, because we are on schedule. I think, as we've talked about, Nick, before, that October and through December were so mild that we got a good head start. And I think right now they're working on some interior portions of the project. So in the bar area, they've tarped that off, as you may have seen. So they're working on the interior of that portion of the project, and then just hoping maybe we get a run of 40 degrees here as we head towards March, and that way the ground thaws out, and they're able to sort of get some more heavy lifting done out there.
Hey, Joel, listen, we really appreciate the time. It's always fun catching up with you and figuring out and seeing what's going on with the Tribe off the field and everything you guys do well with communications and everything else on the website and updating us on the renovation projects. We always appreciate it. And March 3rd, 10 a.m., that online on sale. People will be ready for it. We appreciate it, Joel.
Okay, next in Arizona.
All right, that's Joel Hammond of the Cleveland Indians. He's with their communications department in PR. They do a great job. Joel does a lot on their social media with Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff, Instagram. So it's fun to catch up with him, find out what's going on. And that's going to do it for this edition of Indians Hot Stove Weekly. In fact, the final edition. Boy, this feels good to say. The final edition of Indians Hot Stove Weekly, as next week we'll be coming to you live from sunny Goodyear, Arizona, home of Indian Spring Training for Indians Spring Training Weekly. So we can put the hot stove in the books, at least for right now. All right, listen, that's going to do it for us. Have a great rest of your night. Have a great rest of your week. And stay safe out there all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Spring Training right around the corner.
Indian Fever. It starts from the very first inning.
The 1-1 pitch. A swing and a drive to deep right. Away back. Gone! Jason Giambi has done it for the second time off the White Sox. A walk-off game winner.
This ball is way back there, way back there, way back, baby. Bye-bye.
Swing it.